Hello, once again, this is Pastor Phil Fernandez of Trinity Bible Fellowship, and we're getting a lot of really good responses from the online sermons and from the radio. We do some radio in New Mexico. They air our sermons in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and in Arizona, also in Seattle as well on K-Life, 1590 AM dial, 9 AM. We play about a week behind there. And so we're getting a lot of really good comments. People are writing in and encouraging us. And even had a former inmate who, while he was in prison, got saved in 2001. And somehow, some way, he was able to listen to my lectures and said that it really helped him grow in the Lord. Now he's been out of prison for years, been serving God. And so we're really, it's just really neat that our Trinity Bible Fellowship family is able to reach out there to many others, and so stay in touch with us there, and you could email us your letters at Trinity Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 3264, that's 3264, Bremerton, Washington, 98311, that's 98311, and you can also contact us at the philfernandez.org website, and so, but that's really good news for us, especially during this shutdown. Hopefully things will open up in the near future, and we'll do things safely, but it'd be great to have fellowship with everybody. What we're going to be looking at the next few weeks is the biblical teachings about Satan and demons. Biblical teachings about Satan and demons. And Pastor Pat might be able to, we might be able to have our notes up online in the bulletin section or something along those lines. So I'm talking with Pastor Pat Fisk about that, and we'll get that figured out so that you can have some written notes as well. But I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, Ephesians chapter 6, and as you're turning there, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love you, Lord, and we're so grateful that we still have the freedom to proclaim your truth online and through radio and through television. But Lord, we long to get back together face to face, and we know that you called us to assemble face to face. And so I pray, Lord, that you would give the church the wisdom to figure out how to do that in a very safe way, and that you would give our government leaders the wisdom and the goodness to acknowledge that that if we can open up casinos, if we can open up Walmarts, if we can open up cannabis shops and liquor stores, then there's no reason why the church churches need to be closed, though we need to do things safely. And so, Lord, just help us to get back into fellowship. And we pray, Lord, that today as we study your word, it would be your word, which would be proclaimed, that you would cancel the man, that this would not be the wisdom of man, the faulty wisdom of man, but your truth would be proclaimed. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand the schemes of the devil, that we would understand where our enemy is trying to attack us. And so we need to be aware of who he is and who his minions are, and that through the Lord Jesus, we have the power to bind these demonic entities and to do your work. And so we just love you, Lord. We pray you be with us in the preaching of the word, but anoint me to proclaim your truth today so the people listening and watching would not be wasting their time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the biblical teachings about Satan and demons. When did Satan fall? You know, you'll have a lot of people who will say that, even a lot of scholars will say that maybe Satan fell billions of years ago, and there were those who held to the gap theory, that a pre-Adamic race got wiped out, and then God started all over again with Adam and Eve as if God failed. And I don't hold to the gap theory. Most Christian scholars no longer hold to that. There's some who believe that just Satan, when Satan fell, all the other angels fell with him. But we're going to see, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading of Michael Heiser's work. Don't agree with everything that he says, but he used to be the language scholar for Logos Software. He's a brilliant Hebrew scholar and scholar of the Old Testament, and but he talks about the fact that there were three rebellions three major rebellions of angels. So the angels did not all fall when the fallen angels did not all fall when Satan fell. Okay? And so we're going to see that the Bible teaches, and this is the way the ancient Jews, before the time of Christ, the way they understood their Old Testament, that there were three rebellions, but the Bible also talks about two evacuations of heaven. So two evacuations and three rebellions. And so hopefully that's not going to confuse you, but what I'm saying, this idea that when Satan fell, all the other angels that fell, fell with them, and that they've been judged already. Their judgment has not yet come. They still have access into heaven. We're going to see all these things as we go through that. So we're going to try to answer the question of when Satan fell and who Satan is, and then the ancient Jewish view of three major rebellions of fallen angels in the scriptures. And then we're going to look at warnings to test and resist the spirits, and our response to this, what should it be? But look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And the Apostle Paul says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." See, Paul does not want us to be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. You know, many boxers will study film of their coming opponents and understanding that they need to know what their opponent's going to try to throw at them. Football teams will study the different plays and the previous few games of the football teams that they're going up against. We need to be aware of the schemes of the devil, and unfortunately there's such bad preaching on who Satan is and when he fell and when other angels fell that we're going to try to look at that. And I do try to interpret the scriptures literally whenever that is possible. Every once in a while you get a figure of speech, you know, a dragon with seven heads and ten horns. And then the scriptures tell us the seven heads stand for seven kings, five have fallen, one is yet to come. And the ten horns stand for ten kings of ten kingdoms in the last days that give their power to the Antichrist. So if the scriptures breaks down what the symbolism is, or if it's just obviously symbolism like God sheltering believers like an eagle shelters the chicks, you know, that's fine. But I think we take that principle too far, and we see metaphors where the Bible is just literally spelling things out for us. And so I take a more literal approach. I think it's a more natural approach that when the Bible speaks literally, I accept it literally. And so we're going to answer first the question, when did Satan fall? So we'll look at Satan's fall, which according to the Jews, this was the first rebellion when Satan himself fell. So look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasing to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." And so here you have the serpent in the garden leading deceiving Eve and leading Adam and Eve astray. Now, I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 12. When I first became a Christian, I thought, you know, I was always taught that it was Satan who spoke through the serpent. But how do I know that? It doesn't say that anywhere in chapter 3 of Genesis. How do we know that? And so as I began to study the scriptures, when I came to Revelation chapter 12, I saw, oh, Satan is the serpent, and because John spells that out for us. So look at Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, and it says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Okay? Now, this woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and the 12 stars. If you go back to, I believe it's Genesis chapter 38, what you have is one of Joseph's dreams, where his mom and dad, you know, his dad was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. His sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. And his mom and his dad were like the sun and the moon. And then his brothers, 11 stars, were bowing before his stars. So the 12 stars were the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's very symbolic knowledge for the nation of Israel. So the woman here is the nation of Israel. Okay? It's not talking about Mary. It's talking about the nation of Israel. And then talking about the nation of Israel, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and so this is at the birth of Christ, okay? And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and seven diadems, 7 crowns on his head, okay? Well, we're going to find out that this dragon, verse 9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old. So he's the serpent in the garden there. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, the adversary. The devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that the serpent had been indwelt with and empowered by Satan, and Satan spoke through the serpent. Now, what happened when this lady's about to give birth, and you've got this fiery red dragon, who is the serpent, who is Satan? What happened? In verse 4, it says, his tail, the dragon's tail, Satan's tail, and again, symbolic language here, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. When you go through the scriptures, the angels are often called stars. His ascension, okay? So this first evacuation from heaven of one-third of the angels is at the birth of Christ. They apparently, these angelic beings came to earth, they're spirit beings, we didn't see them, but they came to earth to try to do what? To try to kill the Messiah. So they worked through King Herod to try to have Jesus killed. Satan tempted Jesus while he was in the wilderness. You have this heavy demonic attack. Will there ever be another demonic attack like that where one-third of the fallen angels come back down to earth? We'll see. Okay? Then Jesus ascends to heaven. Verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness. This is why it can't be Mary. It's got to be Israel. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her there, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's the 3.5 years that precede the second coming of Jesus to the planet Earth. Okay? The 3.5, what some would call the tribulation period, others would call it the last half of the tribulation period. Okay? Verse 7, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So now they get kicked out of heaven. So where are Satan and his angels primarily right now? In heaven. We've got to we've got to understand that the judgment of Satan and his and most fallen angels is yet to come. Only some angels are already bound in the abyss, the bottomless pit. Nobody's in the eternal lake of fire yet. You know, that doesn't happen until Jesus throws the false prophet and the Antichrist in the last days into the lake of fire. And so the judgment of Satan and most fallen angels is yet to come. But here, halfway through what is commonly called the seven-year tribulation period, Satan and his angels get kicked out of heaven by Michael the Archangel. A war occurs. The first time, Satan, it was his tail that swept the angels out of heaven. So two evacuations of heaven. So verse 9 again, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan spends most of his time before God's throne accusing the brethren, but he was cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So that 3.5-year period before, I do not believe that's God's wrath, that 3.5-year period before Jesus returns is Satan's wrath upon the earth, okay? And so whatever the case there, what we see is two evacuations of heaven. But Satan and most fallen angels have yet to be judged. Now, we know that God's will is done in heaven. So Satan and his fallen angels that can still have access to heaven, they cannot go against the will of God. God's will triumphs there. At the same time, what we need to understand is that there are two distinct evacuations of heaven. The first was Satan voluntarily left heaven with, and he took 1/3 of the angels with him, so that's fallen angels, and that was at Christ's birth. The second evacuation is 3.5 years before Christ's return. And so what we find is that even angels who have fallen still have access into heaven. You might be saying, "Well, this is weird stuff. I've never heard this." Well, just read the Bible. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, that you go back to Genesis 6, throughout the scriptures, the sons of God in the Old Testament, the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, these are the high-ranking angelic beings. We'll learn more about them throughout this study. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the adversary, also came among them. Now, I disagree with Dr. Michael Heiser, very respectfully. I disagree with him here. I think that this is, even though it says the adversary, I think it's still adversary. I think Satan is both a proper name, but it's a proper name because he is the adversary. And so I don't see any reason why God would mention the name of this angelic being unless it were the Satan that we're familiar with in the scriptures. And so here, before God's throne room, the sons of God presented themselves before Yahweh, before the Lord, and Satan was also among them. And then verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Okay? And so then God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? You want to mess with somebody, mess with Job. And God allowed Job to be messed with, but Job kept his faith and passed the test. We go to Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, high-ranking angelic beings, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. So this is just you know, again, the Lord had asked him, where do you come from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it? So Satan is not chained up in hell. If Satan's chained up in hell right now and he has this much power, that is way overestimating the power of Satan. When he gets chained up in the abyss, he'll have no influence, no power on this planet. But man, just left to his own sinful desires, that'll be enough to mess up things during the millennial kingdom. And when Satan gets released from the bottomless pit, Revelation chapter 20, and then gets thrown into the lake of fire, you know, we'll never have to worry about him again. But the fact of the matter, like humans who are fallen, the judgment of angels is yet to come. Now, unlike humans, humans can repent. Humans can trust in Jesus for salvation. The angelic decision to turn against God is a once-for-all decision. The Bible teaches that they're locked into that fallenness. Look at Zechariah, the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse 1. Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. That would be the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord in the Old Testament is worshipped. It's Jesus before he took on human form, would appear bodily temporarily at times as the angel of the Lord. Zechariah 3:1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. He was the high priest back then, standing before the angel of the Lord. This was like about 500 years before Jesus walked the earth, roughly speaking. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Okay? And he goes there to accuse Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor of Israel, of Jerusalem. Yet he has access to heaven. Peter says that he roams the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So fallen angels still have access into heaven. Satan led them to one-third of the angels. So apparently one out of every three angels at this point, at least at the point of, I would say that right now, one of every three angelic beings are fallen, okay? At the birth of Christ, he led one-third astray. He may have spent hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, convincing them that when God becomes a man, eventually redeemed mankind will rise up above humans and stand in judgment on them. Ancient Jewish tradition that predates Christ holds to that, and that's why Satan led many of the angels to fall. But you have those two evacuations from heaven. First evacuation at Christ's birth to try to kill the Messiah. The second evacuation is still yet future, 3.5 years before Christ's return. But still, these fallen angels at this point, until 3.5 years before Christ's return, when they get kicked out of heaven for good, they still have access to heaven. Okay? Because not just Satan, but the sons of God, and many of the sons of God are fallen. So, the judgment of Satan and most fallen angels is yet to come. Okay, so we're going to be looking at this. Hopefully this won't get too confusing for you. But look at Revelation chapter 19, which deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the planet Earth. Revelation chapter 19, and starting at verse 11, but then we've got to go all the way through Revelation chapter 20. So just bear with me on this. This is the Word of God. This is important. We need to get this down. Revelation 19, starting at verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Remember John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. It's talking about Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, so that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. So Jesus, at the second coming, brings God's wrath to the planet Earth. And we're protected from God's wrath. Verse 16, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. This is the battle of Armageddon. Jesus comes back, and all nations are invading Jerusalem, according to Zechariah chapter 14, and then Jesus returns, lands on the Mount of Olives. Ezekiel says he enters Jerusalem through the eastern gate, and he defeats the armies that are invading Jerusalem. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, the Antichrist was captured, and with him the false prophet. That's the Antichrist right-hand man, who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, the 666. The mark of the beast on the right-hand and forehead. You can't buy or sell without it. If you accept it, you're damned to hell forever. Revelation 14, 9-11. By which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. His image was placed in the temple of the Antichrist. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Those are the first two to get thrown into hell. Jesus said that hell was for Satan and his fallen angels, that God set aside hell for that. The first two that go there are the Antichrist and the false prophet. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So that's the second coming of Christ to the planet Earth, okay? Now, chapter 20, here's how God deals with Satan at this point, starting at verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, that's the abyss. We're going to see that certain fallen angels and demons are cast up, are chained in the bottomless pit. Then I saw an angel coming from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So Satan is free right now. He has access into heaven. He accuses the brethren day and night before God's throne, but he roams the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He spoke through Peter to try to rebuke Jesus when Jesus talked about having to suffer and die. And so he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. This is at the second coming of Christ, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss, into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. After these things, he must be released for a little while. So we're going to find out. I do not, you know, want you to get the impression from this sermon that our only battle is with Satan and his demons, and that we don't battle with our own sinfulness. During the 1,000 years, those who... those little children who grow up during the 1,000 years and more that are born in their natural bodies that don't have their resurrection bodies a lot of them, even without Satan's bad influence, their own sinful nature will cause them to turn against the Lord Jesus when he reigns on earth. And they'll side with Satan in his final rebellion when he gets released from the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the church will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the first resurrection, okay, are those who trust in Jesus, and we get our immortal bodies and reign with him for 1,000 years. The second resurrection is those who get raised, the lost who get raised, and they come out of torment in Hades, and at the great white throne judgment, then they're thrown in the lake of fire forever and ever. So if you're a believer and you die right now, your spirit, your body rots in the grave, but your spirit goes to be with the Lord immediately, and you have conscious joy with the Lord. But when Jesus returns, your body will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Your mortal body will put on immortality, a body that will be glorified, can travel at the speed of thought, and you will return with the Lord Jesus. If you're a non-believer and you die, you go into conscious torment in a place called Hades. But then at the great white throne judgment, after Jesus reigns for 1,000 years, Hades will give up its dead, and there'll be the final judgment. And if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever, what we commonly call hell. So now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp and the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, what we commonly call hell, where the beast and the false prophet are. So they've been there for 1,000 years already suffering. Now Satan joins them, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that's after Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years. So you actually have a fourth rebellion. So we're going to see that there's actually four rebellions in the scriptures, three rebellions that have already occurred, and the fourth rebellion will be after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Start at verse 11 of Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast where? Into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, where all true believers, their names are recorded, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then at that point, you have the new heavens and new earth. The new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven to earth. And you have that eternal state there. So whatever the case, the judgment of Satan and most fallen angels is yet to come. Okay? So what have we spoken about so far? Okay, do not confuse the two evacuations of heaven, and please interpret the two evacuations from heaven. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. If it says that Satan with his tail swept one third of the angels out of heaven, and they came to earth and tried to kill Jesus at his birth. Well, guess what? Then that's when that happened. Then if we're told that the next time there's war in heaven, and Michael the Archangel and his angels defeat in battle Satan and his angels, and then one third of the angels get kicked out of heaven and they come to earth, and then they persecute the woman, the nation of Israel, for 3.5 years before the return of Christ, well, then guess what? That's when that happens, okay? So those are two evacuations, but the fall, the rebellions, there's three that have already occurred, and we'll be seeing this throughout the week. The Jews did not see the fall of Satan as the only rebellion, the only fall, if you will. Satan fell when he tempted mankind in the garden. We'll look at that in just a bit here. And but he was in the Satan. How many people know that Satan was in the Garden of Eden and was perfect in the Garden of Eden until violence was found in him, until sin was found in him? So I think Satan fell by trying to lead. He rebelled against God by trying to lead mankind astray. That's when Satan fell. Maybe some angels joined him in that. But I think he's been running a political campaign for thousands of years trying to recruit angels to say, enough is enough. We don't like this deal that God's got with us. We don't like God's plan for our lives. We want to do our own thing. And so we're going to see that there were other rebellions. One in Genesis 6, another one in Genesis chapter 11, which is spelled out in Deuteronomy 32. And then the fourth and final rebellion will be when Satan leads one final rebellion at the end of the millennial kingdom and is defeated by Jesus, and then Jesus establishes the new heavens and new earth. So we have to keep in mind that fallen angels still have access into heaven, and that the judgment of Satan and most fallen angels is yet to come. So God could point and say, well, that's a fallen angel. But that angel probably still has access to heaven and then can come to earth and mess with mankind too. Okay? Now, their judgment is yet to come. Just like Satan roams freely on earth, but he also accuses the brethren day and night before God's throne. He can only be in one place at a time. He's not God. Now take a look, by the way, at Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. I think my understanding here, putting this in the context of the Bible and everything we've looked at so far, I think Jesus is speaking prophetically here. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. You know, don't forget that in Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve had fallen, God told Eve that there would be a man born of woman who would crush the head of the serpent, that's Satan, but would be bruised in the process. So that prediction of a suffering Savior who through his sufferings would defeat Satan. And the book of Colossians tells us about Jesus disarming the principalities and powers through his death and resurrection. And so Jesus came to be a substitute sacrifice for our sins, to take our punishment for us, because justice demands that every sin be paid for in full. Well, Jesus paid the ransom price for our sins when he died on the cross for our sins, and he conquered death for us by rising from the dead. But Jesus also came to redeem planet Earth, to pay the price not just for our sins, but to take back the planet Earth from Lucifer, from Satan himself. So look at Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Then the 70, these are the 70 disciples, besides the 12 apostles. Jesus sent them out. And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So they were casting out demons in Jesus' name. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Okay? I don't think that what Jesus is saying is that that's when Satan got kicked out of heaven. He's just speaking prophetically and saying Satan's kingdom is coming down. He's trying to take over heaven. We're going to see that he wants to be worshipped. He wants to be like the Most High God. He wants to be worshipped. And so Jesus is saying through the preaching of the gospel and through the power of the triune God, Satan's kingdom is being defeated. Okay? And so the judgment of Satan and his fallen angels, that judgment is yet to come. Now, some fallen angels are chained up in the abyss. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. In verses 19 and 20, and Peter says this, we'll start at verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for all, once for sins, the just, he's the just one, for the unjust, that's us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He was raised from the dead, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Excuse me there. By whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Spirits never mean humans in the scriptures unless it says the spirits of men or the spirit of this guy or the spirit of this gal. So spirits always mean angelic beings. Well, when did he go? After he rose from the dead, he went and preached. He proclaimed something to angels in prison, to spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through the water. So basically, Peter is saying that there are some disobedient angels who have been chained up, okay? In one of Peter's letters, Peter uses the term Tartarus, where the, you know, with the Titans, the half-gods, half-humans of Greek mythology end up being tormented in Tartarus. It's the only time in the Bible that it uses that term. I believe that's in 2 Peter chapter 2 where he uses that term. But it's talking about these same angelic beings. So some fallen angels are chained up in the abyss. Okay, now most fallen angels and Satan, their judgment is yet to come. Some have gone so far they're already chained up in the abyss, the bottomless pit. Satan will be chained up there when Jesus returns for the 1,000 years. So look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Peter says this, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, what angels is he talking about here? For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. That's where in the Greek, I believe it's Tartarus. But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And then he starts talking about God judging Sodom and Gomorrah, but in the time frame of Noah, you have angels that sinned in a special way, in a horrific way, and so God chained them up in the abyss, in the bottomless pit. Jude talks about this. By the way, you could do linguistic studies, historical studies. You can look at the Jews in the Second Temple literature, you know, from the time of the rebuilding of the temple from about 530 B.C. through the time of Christ. The Jews, the early church, understood that this goes back to the second major rebellion when fallen angels in Genesis 6, the sons of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and somehow took on bodily form and cohabited with them, had sexual relations with them, and produced a race of giants called the Nephilim. Okay? And, well, these angels, according to Peter and according to Jude, God chained them up in the abyss, what the Greeks call Tartarus, for their horrific sin. The Book of Enoch, which is not in the Scriptures, we have it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It predates Christianity, and we don't know how much of it actually goes back to Enoch. But the Book of Enoch, whether the statements actually that Enoch wrote, plus the traditions that were added to it, were considered very reliable by the ancient church, the early church, and the ancient Jews. And it goes into details about the Nephilim. But some fallen angels are chained up in the abyss. Look at Jude, verses 6 and 7. And that says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain. What's their proper domain? The spiritual realm. So they left the spiritual realm. Jude 6 and 7. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, left heaven, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And then he says, as Sodom and Gomorrah. Some translations read, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and his cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to have sexual relations with angelic beings who had taken on physical form. It says, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so whatever sin these angels committed by leaving their own domain, it's very similar to the sexually immoral sins of Sodom and Gomorrah when they went after strange flesh and tried to have sexual relations with angelic beings that had taken on bodily form. And so what this is talking about is that some angels, during the time of the flood, went so far out of God's will, may have attempted to destroy and distort and pervert the human genetic code, possibly even to prevent the Messiah from coming. But whatever the case, God judged them harshly and chained them up in the abyss. Now look at Luke chapter 8. We're just going to read a couple more passages here, and then we'll start talking about the first rebellion, Satan, and his fall next week. So we'll spend a few weeks on this. But in Luke chapter 8, verses 26, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 33. And then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he, Jesus, stepped out on the land, there he met a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, who wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. So you understand that the demons, they understood exactly who Jesus was. I mean, there's people who call themselves Christians, and they don't even know that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Well, they're not true believers. But these guys, they had the knowledge of who Jesus was. Now, they weren't going to submit to him. They already made their choice to rebel against him. So only judgment comes. But he said, the demon said, I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him. And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion. Because many demons had entered him. Hundreds of demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. So apparently demons can still get thrown into the abyss if they go too far. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. And so, basically, what you have here is this guy's possessed by many demons, and the demons knew who Jesus was, the Son of the Most High God, but they also knew that Jesus had the power. They thought, you know, hey, our time of judgment hasn't come, but he has the power to throw us into the abyss right now. And they begged him not to throw them into the abyss, and Jesus did not throw them into the abyss. And one final passage we'll look at, Revelation 9. Revelation 9, verses 1 to 11. So some fallen angels are chained up in the abyss. Nowhere does the Bible say that humans go into the abyss. You got demons afraid of going in the abyss, and then you got angels being thrown into the abyss. We'll talk about that too. Are angels and demons the same thing? Or are they different entities? Okay, we'll see Satan rules both of them, but we'll talk about that. I don't want you to take my word for it. We'll look at the scriptures and see there. But Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. And the fifth angel sounded, the fifth angel sounded the fifth trumpet. And I saw a star, usually an angel, fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, the abyss. And smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing, which is weird because locusts, that's what they devour, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Imagine that kind of pain for 5 months. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. Now, this doesn't sound like locusts, like literal locusts. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. You know, so it's kind of like kings? Kings of the past? What are they wearing crowns? But their faces were like the faces of men. They had gold crowns or something like that on their heads. They had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth was like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them, literal locusts don't have kings, okay? They all just instinctively do their thing together. Okay, they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon, but in the Greek his name is Apollyon, and that means destruction. I think a high-ranking fallen angel. And so in the last days, there will be these supernatural locust-like creatures coming out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and they will torment non-believers and cause them incredible pain for 5 months, and the people will seek to die but will not be able to die. Okay? I don't know of anything in the abyss when I study the scriptures except for fallen angels and demons who don't want to go there. Okay? Satan's not even in the abyss yet. So these fallen angels that went too far and sinned, by cohabiting with female humans and producing a race of giants, hybrid, half-angel, half-human giants that led to much of the wickedness on the planet Earth and to God flooding the Earth and starting all over again. But I don't know if these Nephilim, high-ranking angelic beings, if these are the guys that are going to be released from the bottomless pit in the last days. Whatever the case, you have one-third of the angels of heaven side with Satan, and when he loses the battle 3.5 years before Christ's return, they're going to be on Earth messing with us. So please do not underestimate the enemy. And but we're going to look at next week Satan, his fall in the garden when he led mankind astray, and that will be the first rebellion. And the second rebellion, the Nephilim, then we'll talk about the third rebellion, the Tower of Babel. We'll talk about that. We'll get into it. But keep in mind, two evacuations from heaven and three rebellions. The second evacuation from heaven, first one was at Christ's birth. Second one is yet to occur. That will occur 3.5 years before Christ returns. The three rebellions that have already occurred, and then the final one will be after Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years. And we'll be looking at that. But I want us to just go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And we'll close with this. You know, Paul told us that God does not want us to be ignorant about the schemes, the deceptive schemes of the evil one, of the devil. But I want to leave on a good note here. 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. You know, there's a lot of Christians don't even, we just ignore the whole spiritual realm. There are spirits that are trying to influence us right now. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. At that point, there were people, docetists, who denied that Jesus, they said Jesus was God, but he only pretended to be human. He really didn't take on a human nature. That's Antichrist doctrine. And every spirit that does confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay, so the people who are denying that. So those people that are of God acknowledge that Jesus is the God-man, fully God and fully human. God the Son added a human nature, became a man. The Antichrist teachers, they deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, as well as other things. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So keep in mind, as we talk about the schemes of the devil, keep in mind that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so we'll look next week at the three rebellions, and then we'll talk about how we as Christians need to engage in this battle by putting on the full armor of God. I want to make it clear, though, too. If at this point in human history, this is not the Garden of Eden anymore. If there were no Satan and no demons, we would still naturally do the wrong thing unless we come to Christ. And so don't blame everything on Satan and his demons. Recognize that just our own sinfulness is enough to drag us down. And if you come to Christ, you're no longer a slave to sin. Now you're a slave to righteousness. Act that way. But keep in mind, Satan and his demons are not the only enemies. There's the lust of the flesh. There's the world. And we'll talk about that more later as well. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I thank you for the people who tuned in. I pray that you would bless your church and grow your church even while we're apart. But I pray, Lord, that as Moses cried out to Pharaoh, let my people go, because the Jews wanted to go into the wilderness and worship Yahweh. I pray, Lord, that that we could cry out to our leaders and our governors and say that let our people go to worship our God, to join together, to fellowship with one another and safely worship our God. I pray, Lord, that we would not be ignorant of Satan and his demonic warriors, his fallen angelic warriors. We would not be ignorant of them and of their schemes, but that you would remind us that greater is he who is in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so I pray, Lord, that each and every person listening today would trust in the Lord Jesus alone for salvation. We recognize that he died on the cross for our sins, conquered death for us by bodily rising from the dead. That if we trust in him for salvation, we'll be saved and then we'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who will empower us to live godly lives, to resist the evil one and his temptations, and give us the victory over the demonic realm. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you want to get in touch with us, God bless you. God be with you. Be safe. You want to get in touch with us, Trinity Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 3264. That's P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington, 98310. That's 98310. You could also get in contact with us on the Phil Fernandez, that's Fernandez with an S, philfernandez.org, or sermonaudio.com/IBD. You could please subscribe to the Phil Fernandez Show. I try to do at least two mini sermons a week. The Phil Fernandez Show on YouTube. Join with us on Faith Life as well so that we can stay connected. We've got an email prayer chain, different ways that we can stay connected during this difficult time. But just pray that things will start opening up. And all I ask is that right now that the church should just be treated like the rest of the culture. It's almost like we're almost getting to the point where only the churches can't be trusted and by the state. And but I think we can be safer. We can be smart enough to be safer than Walmart, safer than Costco, safer than Home Depot. And so please, if there are any government leaders out there, let my people go to worship our God. And this nation was founded on freedom of religion and freedom of speech and freedom to peacefully assemble. But let the church be the church. We have a great God. He will bring us through. And may he receive all the glory in his kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. And look forward to seeing you next week.